And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey.
We always enjoy it when we have a lot of guests, and we do on the It's Your Turn program on this Monday, Columbus Day. And appropriately, we'll be talking about Columbus Day a little bit later on the program. Our guest will be an executive board member of the Italian-American Defend Our Culture organization, and they're very concerned about keeping the name Columbus Day for this holiday. In some states, it's been changed to Indigenous Peoples Day. So we'll talk with Andre Domina, who says, in their view, that's wrong, and he'll tell us why they think so. So that's coming up a little bit later. Also today, we're going to be talking about Huntington's disease. It's a genetic disease for which I don't think there is a cure. A couple of young ladies have been raising funds for research for Huntington's disease for several years, Kirsten and Kiara Wood, and they'll be back with us a little bit later on the program today. But first of all, two guests are with us here in the studio to fill us in on a concert that's coming up this coming weekend, presented by Butler Area Presbyterian Churches. We welcome Deanna Golden. Deanna, good to see you. It always is.
Nice to see you, Dave.
Deanna is the director of music at St. Andrew's United Presbyterian, right?
Correct.
You've been there for a long time.
Yeah, this is my 12th year.
Good for you.
Yeah.
The pastor there, by the way, is Mary Malloy, who was originally scheduled to be with us today, but pastors sometimes have emergencies, so she did, and we certainly understand that. Also with us is Alan Kitchen, who is the organist at a number of Presbyterian churches here in the area. Where do you play, Alan?
Well, just two of them so far, North Butler and East Butler Presbyterian Churches. North Butler is, since there is no real town of North Butler, it's off Center Drive.
I was going to ask you where it is.
Yeah. That's right. North Butler Church Road. It's off Center Drive at the Five Points intersection. And it's
how far north of Butler is that?
Oh, it's about 5 miles. A little.
Oh, okay.
Center Drive, out of town, just beyond the hilltop.
Mm-hmm. And where's the other church where you play?
East Butler is the only church really in East Butler, right up above the fire hall.
Well, we know where that is.
Yeah. Indeed.
Have you been playing the organ for a while at these churches?
At these churches, I began in November of 2005. I have to admit that the pastor of those churches is my wife. Now, I didn't join those churches until after we were married, because, of course, it wouldn't do to have her dating a parishioner. But I had met her through an organization that's a really powerful retreat and renewal organization, and she's quite a bit of a musician on her own.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Wonderful. Well, we're talking with Deanna and Alan today because there's a free community concert coming up this weekend. Deanna, tell us about it, when and where.
Oh, the concert is on Sunday at 6 p.m. till about 7:30. We'll run around 90 minutes. It's at Trinity Presbyterian Church, and that's up near Target, and I would say the old VA hospital. If you're from here, then you refer to things where they used to be, right?
The address is Staley Avenue. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks would recognize that you turned down Staley Avenue to get to Northwest Elementary School. It's pretty much on the other side of the road from the school, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enter from North Duffy Road.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I've never been in that church, so hope I can make the concert this coming Sunday
and
night.
Some of the reasons we like to host the event there, we rotate, but we're back at Trinity, is because they have sufficient parking, and there are just 3 steps to get into the sanctuary, but there's also a lift if you need assistance. So accessibility is top-notch there.
And the sanctuary is one of those beautiful, I would say modern, but it's not postmodern, it's modern, a 1960s era. Just a lovely octagonal shape, hexagonal shape? I believe it's hexagonal shape, with just a room, very comfortable room for quite a number of people. And
is it kind of in the middle of the
church, or is it off to one side?
The sanctuary. The sanctuary is on the left as one approaches from the parking lot.
Okay. And there are a number of Butler Area Presbyterian churches who are joining in to put on this concert.
There certainly are.
How many churches, you know?
Well, what have we got? We have seven churches. And, you know, it has been said from time to time, including down at the seminary, that Presbyterians are particularly dense in western Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Take that either way. But we have churches here in town that used to be part of the CPC, the UPC USA, the United Presbyterian Church of the United States of America, and the PCUS. Those were northern and southern branches that joined together back in 1983, June of 1983. And that means that there are Presbyterian churches catty-cornered across from each other on adjacent corners, such as Covenant and St. Andrews. Mm-hmm. But we all get along pretty well together, and it is just such a fun thing to get together with the people, especially the really talented music people from all these different churches, and just have fun together.
Do you have a list of the churches, Dana? Do you know who's going to be there?
I do. We're joining together with Covenant Presbyterian, which, as Alan said, is across the street from St. Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
We have Faith Presbyterian, which is up near the mall, north and east Butler, as Alan was just describing, Trinity, where it's going to be held, and Hill, which is up near the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Institute Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Will there be a donation or a free will offering taken?
Yes, and that is really the whole point of the program. We want to get together to raise awareness and collect money for the backpack initiative that serves kids from kindergarten through grade four. All of the elementary schools in Butler Area Schools, they collect donations, and the purpose of that program is to help kids who may not have food available to them on the weekends, and it's very discreetly dealt with. The bags are delivered to the teachers, and they are placed in the children's backpacks so that when they get home over the weekend, they'll have two breakfast items and a couple lunch items and several snack items, things just to make sure that nobody goes hungry. And believe it or not, they serve about 350 kids a week.
Hmm. Now, of course, during a regular school day, kids get a nice, nutritious lunch, and in some cases, a breakfast as well.
Right.
But in some needy families, there's nothing on Saturday or Sunday, so that's what you're covering here.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with the program.
Mm-hmm.
So the proceeds from this community concert will help support this program.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. As Alan had said, I've been there for 12 years. He's about 15. And as long as I've been around this at St. Andrews, these local churches get together on an annual basis. We get together for Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. Sometimes we trade places and join just a pair at a time for Maundy Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I have to say, next to Christmas Eve, because that's very close to my heart. But they're among my favorite services in the year, because we get to share. Each of these churches possesses such musical talent that is so different from the one even right next door. And it's such a thrill. We at this concert are going to be able to experience a most wide variety, everything from classical pieces by Handel to praise band with the drums, guitar. We have some bluegrass. We have Dixieland. We have handbells. We have a joint choir. We have a flute choir. We have trumpet solo. Just about anything that you might be interested is probably going to be on the concert.
That runs the gamut, huh?
It really does.
Yeah, yeah. I, Alan, have had the opportunity to sing in a chorale with Dana on occasion, although we haven't done it for quite a few years now, have we?
It's been a while. Maybe it's time, Dave.
Yeah.
We might need to get together again.
She has a beautiful voice. Are you going to be singing at this event?
I will. I'm going to do a duet with my husband on trumpet, so it'll be a soprano trumpet duet.
Oh, excellent. Do you know what piece you're doing yet?
Let the Bright Seraphim, and that's a Handel piece, so we are representing the classical genre on Sunday.
Georg Handel, huh?
Yeah. I have to say, Alan, Dave, Alan is the most talented pianist in the area.
Oh,
he is so diverse. What a treat. And that working with Alan is really one of my the joys of what makes this fun. And he's pulling out a couple extra instruments as well.
Yeah. Well, Deanna mentioned that there'll be bluegrass.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably bring along a stand-up bass for that. I got a 3/4 K that I'll be thumping along on that. We've got
the bluegrass doesn't sound like sacred music, but it is these days in some cases.
Of course, isn't it? Of course. We will be the bluegrass and bluegrass gospel are actually being pretty well received. We'll be doing an old mid-1930s piece called "Using My Bible for a Roadmap." Hmm. And we happen to have, now, the reason we're doing bluegrass in particular is because East Butler Church hosts a bluegrass jam the first Sunday of every month. And it's a great way to bring in people who are looking for things to do that aren't necessarily high church service related on a Sunday, on a Sunday evening, and come and just play. And we focus a lot on gospel and bluegrass music. Now, we've got, because of that, we've got a couple of ringers coming in, Jerry Pulaski, Sam Stuckey, people who are well known in the bluegrass community in Butler, to play with us on this particular piece. Then we're also doing Dixieland. Deanna's daughter is going to be doing the tailgating trombone for that. And we've got, our church has a trumpeter. I'll be playing the clarinet for that. And just enjoying the heck out of it. We'll also be doing a Southern Gospel quartet, a couple of pieces. And, oh, this is so much fun.
There are many country artists who decades ago were recording sacred bluegrass music. Elvis Presley comes to mind for one, straight off the bat.
Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
And many others, too.
Peace in the Valley, yes.
So something for just about anyone here, even Celtic, I guess. A Celtic piece or two, huh?
We are adapting, we're creating a Celtic sort of a feel as an intro to our first congregational sing-along as a shared hymn. A few of us have pulled out flutes, and Lars Morrison is bringing his recorder, so when you combine those two, we'll create a Celtic feel to get it started.
Now, do people come, the general public, you don't have to be Presbyterian to come
Absolutely.
To this.
Absolutely.
Heavens, yeah.
Next Sunday. There's a free will donation and an offering of non-perishables, or what's the deal?
At this point, we had just talked about a free will donation. There hadn't been any plans to carry non-perishables home, but if somebody shows up with them, I got a van. I'll take them. We'll take them to wherever the appropriate place is. But the free will donation is indeed that's our objective.
I've talked to. In fact, I talked to a couple of teachers who organized this in the Butler Area School District several years ago, and they had no idea how it was going to take off. You know, they're still doing it every week for kids in the Butler Area School District, families in need. So you can help out and still enjoy a wonderful community concert with members, musicians, and choir members. I'm taking it from several different churches. Huh?
Right, and we're even bringing back some old friends. John Cooper used to be the music director at Faith, and then he moved to Erie. But he has agreed to make the trip home, so we're throwing him in a couple of trios, and he and his wife and I will be doing a trio. We'll be doing Praise God From Whom All Blessings Flow. It's an old Martin's a cappella trio arrangement, so I'm calling it the Presbyterian Choirs and Friends, since we're all bringing a few.
I know that song. That's beautiful. That's sung in a lot of churches of various denominations.
Indeed.
Sure. I sang a couple of times with the musical director before you, Deanna. It was Bob McGinnis, Bob McGinnis. Did you know Bob?
No, we never crossed paths.
Wonderful guy,
But there's still his name on a few things we come across,
I've not been to North Butler or to East Butler Presbyterian, but I've been in St. Andrews many times. Mm. It's downtown. Beautiful church.
Lovely.
I love the exposed wooden beams inside hold the ceiling up. It's very nice. Once again, this concert, free will offering. It's entitled Food for the Soul, because the proceeds will be used to benefit the Kids Weekend Backpack Program in the Butler Area School District. And the concert is this Sunday, this coming Sunday, October 20th. Is that possible that this Sunday is October 20th already?
It seems like it is.
Wow. We're halfway through October.
Marching on.
I don't know whether we mentioned the time. 6 o'clock, right?
6 o'clock.
6 p.m. And you said it would last about how long?
About an hour and a half, depending on how much fun we have, how much applause goes on and on.
Well, a good chance to hear some wonderful music. And 6 o'clock to 7:30, so it'll be about 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And it takes place at Trinity Presbyterian Church, which is at 107 Staley Avenue. And you can get there right off Duffy Road, mm-hmm. North Duffy Road. I guess that's South Duffy, isn't it? Once you turn off Newcastle, it's South Duffy. It's right across the street from Northwest Elementary School. That's where it's located, Trinity Presbyterian.
If one makes a turn at the Walgreens,
mm-hmm.
and depending on which way one's coming, turns down towards Whitestown Road, Staley is the first little sort of street on the left, and the first driveway in there is the church's parking lot.
Got to make another left pretty quickly.
That's correct.
Well, nice to have you here. I had not heard about this before. This sounds like a wonderful opportunity for good music, and we might point out that next Sunday afternoon the Steelers are not playing. So no conflict there. They have an off week. That's good news. Steeler fans, you can enjoy the music. Butler Area Presbyterian Churches teaming up for this coming up on Sunday.
And I want to say just how much we appreciate your taking the time to let us come and talk about it.
Oh.
At a musical event that I went to last Saturday, there was so much discussion about how many people had heard your discussion of the fabulous Blackwood Quartet.
Ah, yes.
And that was such a big help to the folks who were putting that event on.
That's what we do here. We like to let folks know about cultural activities that are coming up.
Well, thank you so much for what you're doing.
Nice to meet you, Alan, and Deanna, always good to see you.
You as well.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Columbus Day with guest Andre Domino. He's in New York, I believe. We're going to be talking to him on the telephone, so stick around. That's coming up in just a moment. In today's fast-paced world, our lives get a whole lot easier when we trust experts. We trust people who know what they're doing. And when it comes to shipping, I trust Goin Postal Butler. They're right off Newcastle Road on Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's easy, too. I just cruise on back, go say hello to the friendly folks inside, and they package my items for shipping. And that saves me a whole lot of time from trying to wrap my item, trying to find the right size box or the bubble wrap or the mailing labels. With Goin Postal Butler, I know they provide quality service. They've got great prices. Most importantly, they are trustworthy. So I know that my package will go where I need it to go. That's Goin Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, your friendly neighborhood shipping store, Goin Postal Butler. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about prearrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Columbus Day, folks, and on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, my name is Dave Malarkey. We're going to be talking about Columbus Day, and there's no better guy to talk to than Andre Domino, who is the executive board member of the Italian-American One Voice Coalition. Andre, it's great to have you with us for a few minutes here today, sir.
Great to be on with you.
Columbus Day, well, let's start back at the beginning here, because there have been some changes. Older folks, baby boomers, might remember when Columbus Day was on October the 12th, but that's not the case anymore. It's one of those Monday holiday things now, right, Andre?
That's correct. They made it, it's typical with other holidays, but we're so pleased that it is a national American holiday, a federal holiday, and of course, Italian Americans are the caretakers of it, but it is a great American holiday.
Italian Americans are particularly proud of Christopher Columbus because he was Italian. What city did he come from in Italy, Andre?
He was originally from Genoa, Italy.
Mm-hmm. And are there any mementos or remnants of his time in Genoa that still exist that people can visit?
Yes, yeah. As a matter of fact, they do have what they believe to be his original or the original home that he lived in, and of course there are many statues and monuments throughout Genoa, and actually also in Spain, which is the country that funded his three voyages.
Yeah, and that's a little confusing for some people who may not remember that even though he sailed under the flag of Spain, Christopher Columbus, of course, Italian. And that's why the Italian-American One Voice Coalition is so happy to promote this day. Not only that, but to make sure that we blow up some negative myths that have developed,
right,
I guess, around Columbus Day. Let's talk about that, Andre. In fact, there's even been a movement in some quarters to rename Columbus Day. And I'm sure you folks are very much opposed to that.
Oh, absolutely. Unfortunately, it's already occurred in a number of places. In fact, just last week, the week before Columbus Day, it occurred, believe it or not, in Washington, D.C. Remember, D.C. is the District of Columbia, but they voted last week in an emergency meeting to now not celebrate Columbus Day, but instead celebrate it as Indigenous Peoples Day. And if we do see that kind of movement, that's occurring in a number of places, and it's the wrong thing to do because it's really based on false information and fake facts that they're pinning onto Columbus, and it's just very unfortunate.
Well, let's talk about some of those incorrect stereotypes. Can you mention a few?
Well, sure, because they're saying that he brought slavery and genocide and plagues to this part of the world. Well, candidly, before Columbus got here, this was no Garden of Eden. The indigenous people, they had their own slavery, genocide. They even had cannibalism, and that was well before Columbus got here. We're not going to hold the indigenous peoples to today's standards. But we can also hold Columbus. He was a person of his times, and slavery was rampant at that time. But all the atrocities, they say he killed millions of people. That's absolutely absurd. It's just not possible. And if you read the real source, the real people in authorities that have written about Columbus, you'll see that this is really just fake information that they're bringing forward just to really besmirch the great discoverer.
District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., yeah, that's named after him, after Columbus,
right,
after all. The interesting thing is, though, and I'm not, an expert in the history of Christopher Columbus, but I do know that even though he made four voyages to the New World, he actually never set foot on North America, which a lot of people might not realize.
No, that's absolutely true. He landed among the islands around what was called Hispaniola, or it's near the Dominican Republic now, and that's mainly the areas that he got to. Then in the later voyages, he got to part of South America. He never really hit North America, and he certainly didn't hit what we now call the United States. Although they're saying that he wiped out Native Americans, well, that's not really factual. He had problems with the indigenous people in the area, but at the time he did it, he even worked with indigenous people. For example, there was one tribe that another tribe was going after, and they were cannibals, and he worked with the tribe that was fighting those cannibals. It was a give and take at the time. You got to remember, Columbus came here because he was looking for a route to India to get spices and for trade and so forth. And when he landed in this area, that's why they were called Indians, because he thought originally that he had a western route to India. It was really an entrepreneurial or a business reason that he came here. And he also spread, religion, Christianity through this area as well.
I believe, and I'm trying to search through my memory banks here, that they think Columbus first made landfall on what is now the island of San Salvador near Hispaniola, but we probably don't know that for sure. There are, of course, monuments to him in that area. Are there any movements in the West Indies to get rid of some of these monuments to Columbus, or is that just happening here in North America, Andre?
No, it's really pretty much just up in this area. In fact, a number of people with Latino or Hispanic origin are very supportive of Columbus. You know, for example, the people of Puerto Rico, they revere Columbus as the great discoverer. In fact, there's one author that we deal with all the time. His name is Rafael Ortiz, who is Puerto Rican. He considers himself an indigenous person. And he's actually written three books about Columbus, and he wrote them to correct the incorrect facts that are out there. So it's not just Italian-Americans. Of course, it's an important day for us, but also a lot of Hispanic and Latino and Spanish people are also very supportive of the great discoverer.
Do you have any idea exactly when this movement started and how? I can remember when I was in elementary school, we never heard anything about renaming Columbus Day. Any idea on how this all got going, this movement here, Andre?
Yeah, it was really some activist indigenous people that is probably in the range of about 15 to 20 years ago that started on a small scale, but it has certainly gained some momentum. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, they're convincing people in authority, like the governing body in Washington, D.C. and other areas, that this should be some kind of an appeasement to the indigenous people. And candidly, we have nothing against indigenous people. We'll celebrate with them. In fact, they've already got a day, August 9th, and they've got a month, November. Those are both declared for Native American and indigenous people, and we don't want to take anything away from them, but they shouldn't take anything away from us. Why pit one ethnicity against another? It's just not right. You know, we should work on ways of working together instead of putting people against each other.
We celebrated the 500th anniversary of Columbus's first trip not too long ago. I'm sure that most baby boomers remember that childhood rhyme in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. But
right.
It was pretty remarkable back in that day. It's 500 years ago now. He actually made four trips to the New World. That's nothing today with jet travel. But, boy, you think about that, Andre. I mean, it was dangerous to go to sea. And to make that crossing and back four times, that's pretty amazing.
Oh, it was. In fact, you know, his first trip really was an excursion into the total unknown, because it was totally uncharted waters. He was an expert navigator. He thought it was going to be a trip, believe it or not, of 7 to 10 days, if you read the accounts. It ended up being months. And you can just imagine how difficult that was. And you're right. Then after the first one, that's why this part of the world opened up, because he was able to chart those additional three voyages, which told all the other explorers, and unfortunately people like conquistadors and so forth, that this was a route to get to the New World. And it literally changed the world. It was as if like going to the moon. You know, that's how big of an endeavor it was at the time.
We have had, over the past few years, a visit by a replica of one of Columbus's ships sailing up the Ohio River to Pittsburgh. The most remarkable thing, and I think it was the Nina, I'm not sure, but the most remarkable thing about it for those who visited, it was just here last year in Pittsburgh, how small that ship was. It was tiny.
Right.
Think about that crossing the Atlantic Ocean is almost unbelievable.
You can just imagine, and you're right, I've seen those replicas as well, and those things, can you imagine going through a storm in a couple of months and with limited food and with a crew that, you know, wanted a mutiny because it was taking so long? It really was an incredible adventure that occurred that really changed our world.
And those ships could easily be destroyed. In fact, again, if I remember my history correctly, Columbus's flagship, the Santa Maria, did indeed go down in a storm.
Correct. Yeah. Yep, absolutely correct. And then, you know, he left a contingent of people on this part of the world, and that whole encampment was wiped out by the indigenous people. So, you know, it was not only was it a rough journey, but then when they got here, they had rough times.
I'm assuming that Columbus kept a journal. I mean, we do have some presumably accurate written records about his trips, do we not?
Yes, we do. And in fact, we have some of the original journal, which has been published. And then we have additional information that his own son collected through writings and so forth. So there are some really valid sources of finding information. And, you know, they're taking certain things out of that, literally out of context. And that's part of the problem. But if you go to the original source work, and as we said, Rafael Ortiz actually translated from the Spanish to find the real meaning of what his voyages were and what he did, and it's really very remarkable.
There are many places in the United States named after this great Italian hero, Christopher Columbus. As Andre Domino already said, D.C., the District of Columbia, and I suppose the biggest city would be Columbus, Ohio, named after Christopher Columbus.
Correct, yes. Absolutely, no, and you can find many, many cases all over that, you know, there's such an impact, and, you know, I have to go back to tell you that on the 400th anniversary, President Harrison at the time used Columbus as a sign of patriotism and had everybody celebrate for patriotic reasons, and that's really when the Pledge of Allegiance came into full use. And now what we have today is, believe it or not, Oklahoma University, which has now banned the Pledge of Allegiance because it was honoring the 400th anniversary of Columbus's voyages. It's really just incredible.
Wow. Wow. I mentioned we have a tremendous number of individuals here in western Pennsylvania of proud Italian ethnic heritage. Do you have any ballpark figure, by the way, Andre Domino, of how many people here in the United States claim Italian heritage?
Yes, on a past census, they had determined that it was approximately 24%. 24 million people that have some link to Italian heritage, representing the fifth largest ethnicity in the country.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. Is Columbus Day or Columbus himself celebrated in Europe? I'm thinking of Spain or in Italy in particular.
Well, in Spain, it actually is more so celebrated than in Italy. Italy really is just now starting to come around for more celebrations about it. You have to realize is that, you know, although he was a great explorer and he is well known in Italy, they really don't celebrate it as a holiday as we do here. For here, the, you know, Italian Americans have really taken it on, and now because of the connection with families back in Italy, it is becoming more prominent now because of the way it's celebrated here in the United States.
Some folks might wonder why he didn't sail under the Italian flag. Well, there are number of reasons for that. First of all, Italy, as it's now constituted, really did not become a nation until sometime in the 1900s. It was independent city-states. They were very powerful, Venice, for example, and others, but it was not Italy as we know it today, back in the time of Columbus, right?
Oh, yes, you know your history exactly. It was a bunch of all different duchies and different areas that was not unified, and it was only unified about 150 years ago, so it really was not a full country. And Columbus did try to get funding from some of those people that reigned throughout the part of Italy and actually in other parts of Europe. The only one finally after years that funded him was the Spanish royalty.
Thank goodness for Ferdinand and Isabella, huh?
Exactly.
Did he go back to Spain, by the way, you know, to get funding for his subsequent trips?
Yes, absolutely. And as it was because of the fact that he found, you know, the rich lands and so forth, they saw it as an opportunity for trade, for getting spices and for getting other things from this area. So, yeah, it became a regular, I would say, business situation for Spain itself.
And, of course, he claimed the territories on which he landed for Spain, and that led to the tremendous Spanish heritage that we have in most of Central and South America, the lone exception being Brazil, which they speak Portuguese in Brazil. Everywhere else, it's Spanish, thanks to Christopher Columbus. The great irony, though, Andre, and I think this is terribly unfair, North America, South America, Central America, they're all named after Amerigo Vespucci, some map maker.
That's correct.
They should have been named after Christopher Columbus, don't you think?
That's true, you're right. But it was Amerigo Vespucci, when you look back at the historical records, it was, you know, he that charted, was, you know, he was a great chartographer, and he's the one that really charted out the maps and became so well known for those maps, and, you know, then they attributed this whole area to Amerigo. We are America. Otherwise, I guess we would have all been Colombia.
Hey, listen, if you have another minute or so, I'd really like to talk a little bit about the organization, the Italian-American One Voice Coalition. I was checking out your website, and there are a lot of negative stereotypes, apart from Christopher Columbus, that you have posted. You keep an eye on this stuff, don't you? Like movies and even TV commercials that are derogatory toward Italian Americans.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's really what the whole basis of our organization is. The Italian-American One Voice Coalition, all sole purpose is to reverse stereotyping and negative portrayals of Italian-Americans. Unfortunately, Italian-Americans are the last ethnicity that it's okay to bash. You know, you'll find every time you see an Italian on a TV show or a movie, he's either a mobster or a mafioso, or because of Jersey Shore and shows like that, a bimbo or a buffoon. And it's very unfortunate, and we don't have the balance. Every other ethnicity, of course, there are portrayals of, but then you have a balance. You have positive portrayals. You just don't see that with Italian-Americans, and that's what we're there for. We're there to identify those things and to just say it's not fair and to look for a balance.
Yeah, some of these programs have had high ratings, Sopranos and so on, but even
sure.
some of the commercials. Now, you know, if you're not Italian-American, maybe you thought these commercials were funny. You know, whether it's
right.
Alka-Seltzer or Aflac or whatever. But to many Italian-Americans, these are degrading.
Sure, because it perpetuates the stereotype. You know, it perpetuates, you know, that people are, the Italian people are dumb or they're mobsters or killers. And it's just, you know, all the references to The Godfather and Sopranos and so forth. I have to tell you, it affected me. My father was a scientist. He was an accomplished inventor. He had many, many inventions and so forth. And yet, you know, we lived in a nice house. And many times I would hear from people when I was in school, people would say, oh, it's because his father's connected. That's why they're there. You know, everything was brought down to that lowest level because of that stereotype. And it's just not fair.
Are you second generation Italian-American, Andre? Was your father born in Italy?
Actually, yeah, I'm literally first generation because both of my parents came from Italy. And when I was a kid, I was born in Brooklyn. I actually didn't speak English as a kid. But then when we moved to New Jersey, my parents wanted us to assimilate, and so therefore I had to, you know, forget about my Italian, and that's probably why I'm so strong now for supporting our heritage. But my father instilled in me a tremendous patriotism for our country. Even though he came from Italy, he always said, America's the greatest country in the world. And he told me, you were just born here, but I chose this country. And that's why he put so much patriotism in me. And at the same time, we still respect our Italian heritage.
What part of Italy did your family come from, Andre?
Both parents came from Sicily, the island of Sicily.
Hmm. Andre Domino, he is executive board member of the Italian-American One Voice Coalition. And their mission is to combat negative stereotypes of Italian-Americans in the media and elsewhere to defend Italian-American culture and heritage. And a good day to talk to Andre Domino is on Columbus Day. Andre, nice to meet you. Thanks for chatting with us here today.
Thank you. Happy Columbus Day.
And same to you, sir. Thanks a lot. So long.
Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way. Getting there stops here. Just hop the bus. Easy and economical, just hop the bus. No car, no problem, the bus will get you there. 'Cause that's what we do. Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
Welcome back, good friends. Interesting tidbits, facts about Columbus Day there from Andre Domino. He was visiting with us on the telephone, of course. Our next guests are with us in the studio, and gosh, I feel like they're old friends.
Yes.
The Wood Sisters are here. Kira, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Dave. Thank you for having us.
And Kirsten is here.
Hi, Dave.
Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kirsten, yeah.
Okay. And also with us is Shane. Shane, good to see you as well.
Nice to see you, Dave. Yeah. Thanks for having us again.
You're the stepdad of these two beautiful
No, I am their dad.
Oh, you're their dad?
I am their
okay.
dad, yes. I will take credit for that. It's one of the few things I've done right in my life.
Well, rightly so. You have two beautiful young ladies.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your mother suffers from Huntington's disease, Kara, and has for several years now, right?
Yes, she's been diagnosed since about 2006. We've been on this journey with her now for about 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been in a nursing home for the past 6 years, unable to care for herself anymore because of the disease.
So you're going to have a fundraiser this weekend, Kirsten?
Yes, we are having our 5th annual Woods Warrior Strikeout HD Bowl for a Cure event again October 20th at Family Bowl Away from 11 to 2.
That's this coming Sunday, right?
Yes.
Sunday, 11 to 2. And what's it cost to go bowling that day?
$20 to bowl, but anyone can come. We have baskets, lots of baked goods, other things other than the bowling. If you're not a great bowler, it's okay. We have other things for you to do. Unlimited bowling is $20. And
that's for adults. That's children for adults. Are $12. That mm-hmm. includes your shoes and as many really? Games as many games yeah. as you can play.
Well, that's a pretty good deal.
Very yeah. good deal.
And once again, the hours are 11, did you say?
Yeah, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Family mm-hmm. Bowl Away.
Family Bowl Away is located just off Hanson Avenue, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And you've had this event there for several years now?
Yes, this will be our fifth year. We're super excited about it. Mm.
Tell us about Huntington's disease. Many of our listeners will not be aware of this. I just saw last week, gosh, I can't think of the name now. It was a celebrity, a well-known individual who's been diagnosed with Huntington's disease, and I thought of you right away.
Really? I did not see that. I'm not, wow.
I saw it on the wire.
Wow, yeah. Okay. Well, Huntington's disease is a rare and fatal genetic brain condition. It's best described as ALS, Parkinson's disease, and Alzheimer's, all wrapped into one disease. Mm. And it's super rare, so it only affects about 30,000 people across the U.S. So that's one of the reasons we do what we do, is because we want to make sure everyone knows about Huntington's.
And the money that you raise from your bowling event this coming Sunday will go to a national organization, or where does it go, Kirsten?
It stays here in the Western PA chapter. The Huntington's Disease Society of America, there is a national office in New York, but they have different chapters across all around the U.S., and we are part of the Western PA chapter. So all the money will stay here to help local families, and will stay here locally to help support other families dealing with Huntington's disease as well.
I didn't know there was a local chapter of the United
yeah.
States.
Yeah, there's local chapters, obviously, all over the U.S.
Mm-hmm. In Pittsburgh, I'm assuming, the local
yeah.
chapter.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Do we have any idea of the incidence of this disease, even a ballpark figure on how many Americans are mm-hmm. stricken yeah. with Huntington's disease?
It affects about 30,000 people, and it's estimated that there are about 100,000 to 200,000 people at risk of HD. Now, what I mean when I say at risk, there's a genetic component to HD. So every parent to a child that they give their child a 50% chance of inheriting the gene.
Mm-hmm. So you can't catch it from anyone. It's not contagious.
No, nope, definitely
it's
not the flu.
Strictly genetic. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And how was your mom diagnosed several years ago?
We actually didn't know of a family history, which is very rare. A lot of the people we've met across the country, we've been very fortunate to go to events. They often have a long family history. So they'll have grandparents, great-grandparents, aunts, uncles, you know, parents. But with our mom, that was not the case. It was just our mom that we knew of. She was very fortunate at the time. Her doctor was working with another young gentleman who was recently diagnosed with HD and saw some overlaps in her and said, maybe you should get tested for this. You know, just essentially, he was hoping that wasn't the case, obviously. Yeah, he just yeah. wanted to rule it out, but that was not the case.
What are some of the symptoms? Are either one of you able to talk about that? I know nobody's a doctor here, but...
So the best way to describe it is basically your brain and body are deteriorating at the same time. It affects all your muscle functions. It takes away everything a person has. It's taken away not only my mom physically, her ability to walk and talk, but just her personality. Obviously, her brain's not working the same, so she's kind of a shell of her former self is the best way to say it.
So some of the symptoms of ALS you
yes.
mentioned?
Yes, mm-hmm. It's very...
With the deterioration mm-hmm. of motor yeah. skills, walking, so on and so forth. Writing, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Everything, yeah.
And also some of the symptoms of Alzheimer's mm-hmm. with the cognitive deterioration.
Yeah. Hmm.
Does your mom remember things? Does she know who you are?
We're very fortunate. She does know who we are. Her speech is very limited at this point. Basically, all we can get from her is I love you. That's the only thing we can still understand that she says. So it's not a bad thing to hold on to. Mm-hmm. But she knows who we are. Her memory-wise, I mean, every person with HD is different. Hers has been very much, she knows who we are. She might not know what day it is, what time it is, but she knows who we are, and that's you know, that's all that matters to us.
It's kind of like other diseases where there's cognitive decline, whether it's Alzheimer's mm-hmm. or other forms of dementia.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know until several years ago that Parkinson's disease also carries a factor of memory loss and so on and so forth, too.
Yeah.
I thought it was just tremors, you know, mm-hmm. you had trouble walking and so on and so mm-hmm. forth. So it's hard to make a general statement about it because these symptoms cover a wide variety of diseases.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every case is different, too.
Mm-hmm.
The symptoms present different with different people. You know, some the motor skills thing might be more than others, and instead of the mental breakdown, or it might be just as bad with, you know, you never know what you're going to get with the disease. That's the bad thing about it.
How did you find out about it? Her case? Did there were doctors you said that were aware of it anyway? Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, their mom had started having issues, and she got tested, and you know, we tested positive. And that's none of us had ever heard of HD before this all happened.
I never heard of it until I met you two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons that the girls do what they do, to kind of to spread the awareness and to get the word out there that while it's rare, it's a brutal, awful disease, and we want to do what we can to help end it, you know.
Is there a blood test, or do you just look for the symptoms and then kind of deduce, you know, kind of go backwards and figure out what it is or what it might be?
If there's a family history, like, you know, Kirsten and I, we know we're at mm-hmm. risk. So you can get a blood test for it. It's a pre-symptomatic test. They just take a tube of blood. But if you are showing symptoms already, I believe they do like cognitive function tests as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't speak to that. I've never, you know, obviously experienced that.
Does it tend to present in older people, older in life, or I guess what I'm getting at, can kids get it? Can teens get it?
So it typically affects a person between the prime working years of their life. My mom was mid-30s, you know. I was 8, what, Kirsten was around 10.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking, you know, just an average mom trying to live her life, and she's presented with that.
Mm.
So prime working years, it really hits. There is juvenile Huntington's disease. If you have a lot of family with generations passing it on, the gene can become stronger. So it can present in young people, but fortunately enough for us, that has not been the case.
Some people who are at risk for genetic conditions do not get tested. I can understand private reasons for that.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do, some people don't. Do you know any other people around the Butler area who are battling HD, Huntington's disease?
We've made a few friends around the Pittsburgh area dealing with this, but as small as Butler, no, we've met people in our local chapter in the Pittsburgh area.
So it's pretty rare, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Have you ever gone to national conventions or whatever to learn more about it?
Yeah, we've been to Dallas. Kirsten went to Boston this past summer.
Yeah, they had their the HDSA's national convention changes places every year. So last year I was fortunate enough to go to L.A. for it, and then this year, I went to Boston. And it's really interesting, all the new science and all the things that are coming out. And it's just great to see, you know, everyone kind of commune together. There were over 1,000 people there at this convention. It was the biggest one so far, and it was just really great to see, you know, everybody getting the resources and the help that they need. It's just really empowering to have everybody there and knowing that we're all there as a community and camaraderie. You know, it's a lot of fun.
So what happened? Were there seminars or addresses by physicians or what?
Yeah, they have a lot of seminars. Depending on, you know, if you are already symptomatic, they have different things for like family planning, if that's where you are in your life, or more like research based. So like certain like medications you should look for. I know they do one specifically for like HD already sick, and then they have ones for like young people as well. So we have like panels on like testing or not to test, and you know, different people's experiences. Or
yeah, they try to get information out there to people that they need. You know, you can really pick and choose what sections you go to mm-hmm. based on mm-hmm. where you're at, whether you're a youth or you're at risk, or whether you're an adult who's tested positive, who's symptomatic. You know, they really give you, they try to hit all the angles of where you're at.
Also for caregivers, too.
Yeah,
yeah, there's a lot. Very important. Yeah. Have you ever gone to any of these national conventions?
Yes, I was fortunate enough to be in the one in Dallas. I have not gone since, so it's on my list, but life's been crazy, so one thing at a time.
I think I have to go for a break here, so let's do that. We'll be back and talk more with our guests, with Shane, with Kirsten, and with Kira, here on WISR, the Monday edition, Columbus Day edition of It's Your Turn. You guys work on Columbus Day?
I am off today.
I'm off. You're today. Off? Yeah. I'm also off today.
Really?
Yeah.
You well, lucky we dogs. I'm working. We'll be back with more right after this.
Here's a pre-planning checklist. Pre-plan your vacation? Check. Pre-plan for retirement? Check. Pre-plan for college expenses? Check. Pre-plan for a funeral? Hold on, you say, I don't want to even think about that now. Think again. Now is really the best time. Before your emotions get in the way of logical and sensitive decisions, make all of these choices now. The funeral service, the choice of caskets, which minister, priest, or rabbi, cremation, visitations, flowers, church service, or not. All these decisions must be made, of course, but make them now. Before your emotions get in the way of logical decisions, pre-plan with Thompson Miller. Think about it, and then call us to meet with you to discuss it privately. Call 724-287-3706, 287-3706. Pre-arrangements. It really makes sense. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller. Time-honored excellence.
Tobacco for Less is Western PA's largest glass emporium, and they now have a store in Butler at Pullman Square Plaza. What makes Tobacco for Less different from other stores? For starters, they have so many glass pipes to choose from. They also feature a walk-in humidor and a vape juice bar. And of course, they carry a variety of standard tobacco products too. The Tobacco for Less Health and Wellness Department stocks a large selection of high-quality CBD products. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome back, good friends. We are very pleased to be able to chat once again with Kirsten and Kira Wood and Shane Wood. Your mom, what's your mom's name, by the way?
Melissa.
Melissa?
Mm-hmm.
She's been battling Huntington's disease, HD for short. Mm-hmm. For quite a few years now. Are there treatments? There's no cure, right?
No, there is no cure.
Are there treatment modalities for this?
The problem with Huntington's is there's only medication out there for symptom management. So there's nothing actually delaying the symptoms. It's just kind of helping you deal with your symptoms. And of course, you know, you can only take certain dosages. So a lot of times people, you know, max out on those and really don't have anything else. There are some very hopeful trials right now. The most successful things going on are spinal tap drugs because Huntington's affects the most innermost parts of your brains, like the basal ganglia. And the only way to get medication into that part of the brain is through your spinal cord. There's no, like, you can't take a pill to cure HD because it can't pass the blood-brain barrier.
Don't ask me about the basal ganglia.
There won't be a quiz, don't worry.
Not knowledgeable. Does your mom have to go, or did she have to go far away for treatment, or for a diagnosis, or can they handle that in, you know, around here in Pittsburgh?
I believe she went to the Cleveland Clinic. It's so hard because, like I said, I was only eight, so I only know what we've heard through the grapevine. So I think that would be a better question for my dad because he was there with her.
I was not there with that part of the thing, but I do know she was at the Cleveland Clinic, and I know that she went to various places and was dismissed a few times saying that she did not have HD when she did test positive for HD. So,
well, again, as you were saying, Kara, it's a little tough to diagnose, you know. There are symptoms which are very similar to other conditions, to other diseases. Well, Cleveland Clinic, I always consider Mayo Clinic and Cleveland Clinic to be kind of 1-2 in terms of medical facilities here in this country.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, looked up the Mayo Clinic website before you guys got here so I could get a little bit of background on Huntington's disease. I had never heard of it before I met you. Never.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Now, when I first did meet you, you were both in school. I assume you both graduated now?
I'm very excited. I just graduated BC3. I was actually one of the commencement speakers for BC3, so I was really excited about that.
You must
have
had pretty good grades to be chosen for that.
No, I'm just a pretty good speaker.
Don't let her fool you. She had good grades.
So it's like a valedictorian or something?
Well, I'm a communications major. Well, graduate now, so I'm coming for your job.
She sounds like a communications major, doesn't she, Shane?
Yes, she does.
Yeah. Very good communicator. And you went to BC3 as well, didn't you, Kirsten?
Yeah, I graduated from BC3 in May of 2017. So it's been a couple years now. But yeah.
And you have a position BC3. In retail at Marshall Department Store?
Yep, I work at Marshall's in Cranberry Township.
Good place to shop.
Yes, it is.
So you two will be there, maybe all three of you will be at the bowling alley on Sunday?
Oh, of course. We wouldn't miss it. I think family would be pretty mad because they work so hard on this. I have to give a shout out to my stepmom right now. She's not always able to come to the speaking events with us, but she works so hard to put those baskets together. All our donors were up to just around $5,000 just in donations.
So you have basket raffles? Is that what you're going to have?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We have penguin tickets. Oh. Penguin tickets.
They're hard to come by, you know.
Oh, yeah. Four of them.
Usually you have to, you know, put somebody in a closet and steal their tickets right. If you're going to go to a penguin game.
Well, whoever wins them, I'm definitely going to do that. So.
There's also a bake sale, and there'll be a 50-50. And one thing we want people to know, if you don't have to bowl to come and enjoy the baskets and the bake sale and the 50-50. You can show up. You can get in for free if you're not bowling and spend all your money on the baskets and baked goods and 50-50. Yeah. So come up, hang out. It's a good time. You don't have to bowl to enjoy it. But if you want to bowl, come on. We always need lots of bowlers, too.
Young and old, do you have any of your friends, student age or just graduated, to come?
Yeah, we have friends come, and I think the oldest person there is probably our grandma. She's 93, bless her heart, still lives on her own, does everything. Yeah.
Still bowling, huh?
But I don't know if she's a bowler, but right. She comes and hangs out with us.
She works at the bake sale.
Yeah, she does the bake sale.
Yeah,
she could probably beat me.
Probably.
I bowl. In fact, I was sharing with the young ladies here before we went on the air. I'm left-handed, but because of lack of sports equipment when I was a kid, most sports I play right-handed. I play baseball right-handed. I play golf, hockey, you know. So when I'm bowling, I can bowl with either hand. Hmm. It's kind of a trick I do, you know. to amaze people every once in a while. Mm-hmm. If I'm going for that solitary spare, whatever it is, the 10-pin or whatever. I'm not very good at it, but I can bowl with either hand. Either of you two bowl?
Oh, I'll go bowling, like, for fun, but I couldn't. I think the highest game I've ever bowled is, like, a 40-something. I don't really talk about it. Not great at it.
You're in my league.
Definitely not a good bowler.
I can do a little better than that, but... Mm. Besides, you guys are going to be busy. You don't have time to bowl this Sunday, right?
No,
it's a whirlwind 3 hours, that's for sure.
It goes by so fast. Like, I never, like, when it's over, we're like, oh, my God, it's over already. Like, it's crazy.
Now, people pay at the door?
Yes. Yeah. We have as soon as you come in the door, we have a table. You know, my parents take all the money and for the bowlers, and you get a wristband if you bowl. And then if you're just coming in for baskets, you can, like my dad said, you don't have to pay for that. You can sneak right in, put in for our baskets. But, yeah, it's a lot of action.
Buy some tickets, put in a bunch of tickets in the basket, in the can for the basket that you'd like to win.
Absolutely.
Yep. I go for those penguin tickets myself. It's a hockey night in Pittsburgh. What other, do you know any other baskets that you have, by the way, or aren't they cataloged yet?
I know we have a Cheesecake Factory gift card. We have a Lamont gift card for a nice date night in Pittsburgh.
Good eating. Both of those places are good eating.
Yeah.
We have a couple baskets with basically all lottery tickets. We have quite a few fall-based baskets, Halloween-based baskets. We have a brand new bicycle that will be offering up.
Some wine, alcohol.
Wine, there's some alcohol baskets.
We have alcohol baskets, yeah.
We have a dog-based basket.
Yeah, we have a few.
Yep.
Yeah, a couple of them.
Yeah.
So if you have a dog, you want to stop in, And you don't have to bowl. You can.
Yeah.
But you can just stop in and participate in the basket
auction. Absolutely. If you just want to come up and see what baskets we have, and I think the 11th frame is open, have a few cocktails while you wait, you can do that too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, it's a wonderful cause, and I applaud these two young ladies. And Shane, I'm sure you're very proud of them because, you know, they've been doing this for, what, 5 years now?
Yeah.
5 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually started 6 years ago with we were at the farm show. And then from there, we've been doing the bowling ever since. So I'm very proud of these girls. They're great. They're great kids. They're not kids anymore, I guess. They're great young women. How about that?
Great young ladies, that's for sure. Do you think your mom has any idea what you're doing? Probably she doesn't realize. Huh?
I don't think she always realizes it. The past few years, she's been able to come to the bowling alley event. But this year, just because of her decline, really, this past year has been hard on her. We don't think she'll be able to make it. But in past years, I think she's always overcome. There have been a few years where she says a nice thank you, and she's gotten emotional through that. But, you know, it's we do it for our mom. We love our mom. But, you know, it's not about getting credit from her. It's not about credit at all. We just want people to know what HD is.
Mm-hmm. God bless you.
Absolutely.
And, of course, with her motor skills deteriorating, and I have some family experience with dementia as well, and that's tough. That's tough to deal with.
Yeah.
We got to worry about caregivers, too, Shane. You know, many times they don't realize that their health is being affected when they're caring for a loved one who needs so much attention.
It's a very large task to take care of a person with HD. We see that, you know, through our support group meetings and just dealing with it every day. And it's a rough go of it.
I'm sure they talk about that at the national conventions you've been to.
Yeah.
Concern for caregivers. Take a day off once in a while.
Yeah.
Get somebody to cover for you.
Yeah, that's a big thing we try and do is, like, you know, trying to take care of yourself as a caregiver and just making sure that, you know, you can't give from an empty cup is the reference that we try and make, you know.
Yeah. So we've been very fortunate. We have not had to do a lot of caregiving because my mom's been at Sugar Creek Rest now for so long. They do great with her. She's been there so long that there are nurses who have been with her whole time there, and they know her, and
she just rules the place.
Oh my
gosh!
Honestly, she's VIP. Like she knows it.
I know Sugar Creek Rest. I've had families there. It's a wonderful place.
We're very blessed.
Place. And you're able to get to see her. It's not too far. You're able to get
To we're actually since we have the day off today, we're actually going to go see her after this.
That's right. They have the day off for Columbus Day. Yeah. By the way, just of general interest, this is a federal and a state holiday. So all federal and state governmental offices are closed. That means no mail delivery today. Don't be standing by the door waiting for the mailman because he's not going to be coming. And locally, it's kind of hit and miss.